glory out of this. Luke chapter 15, very familiar passage of Scripture, especially this third parable that Jesus talked to us about here. But I want to pick up in the middle of the narrative here of this prodigal son parable, verse number 25. The Bible says, "Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." The Lord would help me for a few minutes this morning. I'd like to try to preach on elder brother religion. Elder brother religion. This passage from which our text comes today is a very interesting chapter. In order for us to learn the lesson that Jesus is impressing upon us here, we need to examine the context from which this message comes from. So we must go all the way back to verse number 1, and we see in verse 1 of chapter 15, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Notice the accusation of the Pharisees. They're pointing a finger at Jesus. Look at what he's doing. He's taking time for the sinner. He's spending his time talking with the sinners and the publicans and giving all of his time to them. And so in response to the Pharisees' accusation, Christ gives us three parables. He gives us the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost silver, and the parable of the lost son. In each one of these lessons, there are three, and each parable, there are three lessons for us to learn. First of all, in all three of those parables, we see the great price of a lost soul. You remember Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul, or what shall a man give in exchange for a soul?" There's a great price that's laid upon a soul. But not only do we see the great price of a lost soul, we also see in all three of these the great pursuit of a lost soul. Amen. Remember the shepherd left the 99 and went looking for that one, the woman that lost the coin. Amen. Searched diligently until she found it. And we even see the pursuit in the Father. For he is already looking. He's watching and waiting as this boy makes his way back home. Jesus said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." And not only in these three parables do we see the great price and the great pursuit, but we also see the great pleasure of a found soul. Hallelujah. In every one of them, there was a great celebration when that which was lost is found. Hallelujah. Oh, it teaches us, and Jesus even said, "Does not the angels in heaven rejoice over one lost soul that comes home?" I tell you, I'd like to see heaven get happy today, wouldn't you? Oh yeah, I said, I'd like to see heaven get happy and see somebody come back to the Lord. Amen. Well, this last parable, though, is a little different. For in the first two, Jesus He responds to the derision of the Pharisees. Or he responds or reveals his desire for the publican. But in this third parable, he responds to the derision of the Pharisee. Amen. There's three characters in this. The prodigal. He's the perfect picture of a sinner or a backslider who takes his journey into a far country. Amen. Wastes his substance on riotous living. But he comes to himself and comes back home. We also see the Father. Amen. He's a perfect picture of God with all of the love and mercy and grace that God has for a lost soul. Amen. He's watching. He's waiting. He opens his arms wide. He welcomes back home that which is lost. Amen. A perfect picture of God. But in this elder son, amen, I'd like to take a closer look at him today, for I see in him things, amen, that are prevalent in the hearts and lives of those that sit on holiness pews. You see, I see in his life the fact that there are many people in this hour that has elder brother religion. The first thing that I want you to notice about this elder brother is his duty. The Bible tells us there in verse 25, now his elder son was in the field. In his own testimony to us in verse 29, look what he tells his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Amen. From his own words, we see that this elder son has a superb record. Amen. Just on the surface, there's no way that we can really put a finger on his life. He's been faithful in his duty to his father. He's been faithful in his service to his father. Amen. He informs us that he has followed to the letter every commandment that his father has ever given him. There's no apparent sin in this boy's life. He is the proud owner of a superb record. Amen. There's a lot of people that sit in holiness pews. Amen. Much like this young man. Amen. They have a superb record. As far as putting a finger on their life, there is no apparent sin to behold. They come to church. They're there Sunday morning. They're there Sunday night. They're there every midweek service. They're faithful in their tithe paying. Amen. They even have a good holiness standard. They have a superb record. But how many knows today that just because, amen, that you've got a 25-year membership pin, amen, of the house of prayer, does not mean that everything is all as it ought to be. Amen. There are times that people, amen, on the surface have superb records, and all the while we see, amen, in their heart, there is a problem. Amen. Notice this young man. He had a superb record. But when his brother comes home, we see a sorry reaction. In verse 28, the Bible says, and he was angry and would not go in. Though the proud owner of a superb record, this sorry reaction opens a window that reveals a problem in his character. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost, preach today. Amen. You see, he was faithful in his duty. Oh, yes, he was. He was there every day. He had not been like the prodigal. He had not went to the far country. He had not wasted his substance upon riotous living. In fact, we even see after the prodigal comes and asks for his inheritance, the Bible says he divided unto them, his two brothers. He's already received his inheritance as well. Amen. He's obtained it. It's right there for his taking. He can do with it as he wills, just as the prodigal did. Amen. But yet we see that he is not wasteful. Amen. He still stays at home. He still is faithful in his chores and his duty to his father. And yet the whole time, in all of his service, in all of his duty, in all the things good that he had done, there is still something going on in his heart. Amen. There is a problem in his character. You see, he has faithfully carried out his duty, and yet he has had no devotion to his father whatsoever. Oh, you see, my friend, amen, yes, he was at the house.
Yes, he had been there all these years and served his father, but he had not done it out of a heart of love and devotion for his father. He had done it out of a sense of service. And I want to preach to us today here at the house of prayer. It's not just enough, amen, to perform your duty. It's not just enough to be faithful in your service. But I want to know today, what is the motivation behind it? Amen. Why are you here this morning? What got you out of bed on Sunday morning? Amen. To come to the house of God. Are you here because it's a religious obligation? Are you here this morning simply because you know if you didn't come, there would be a call this afternoon from the pastor wondering, why weren't you at the house of God? Is that your motivation for being here? Amen. Or is your motivation for being here this morning the fact that you realize, amen, that God has saved you and brought you out of sin? Amen. Because of your love for Him. Amen. You said, I'm getting up. Amen. I'm going to the house of God because I want to get in the presence, amen, of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, what is your motivation for being here today? Amen. Oh, I'm sorry to say there are people that spend entire lifetime, amen, on a church pew, and the only reason why they're there is out of a sense of duty. But friend, I want to tell you, if we're going to be what God intends for us to be, amen, we're going to have to fall in love with the Father. I know a piece along these lines last night, but I feel like coming down this road again this morning and telling somebody, amen, it's not just enough. I said, it's not just enough, amen, to pay your tithes. It's not just enough to have a holiness standard. And friend, I want to tell you something, when you're saved, you're going to do those things. But friend, I've seen people that have done those things, amen, never ever loved God in the process. I want to tell you, my friend, if we're going to be what God intends for us to be, we're going to have to be devoted to the Father. We're going to have a love for God in our heart that supersedes everything else. You see, you can tell there is no devotion to His Father out of this reaction. Amen. He gets angry with his father. Why is he angry? Amen. Because of his brother coming home. He has a problem. And you can tell folks really don't love God like they should because it affects their other relationships. If his love for his father would have been what it ought to have been, he would not have had a problem with his brother. If he'd have loved the father, he would have rejoiced with what the Father rejoiced with. Amen. If he'd have loved his father, he would not have despised the fact that his brother had come home. But we see his anger, amen, in his heart. And it is a result of a heart that is not in tune to the Father's heart. Oh, God, help us today. Amen. Oh, listen to me, my friend. Amen. I can tell. Amen. When you have problems with your brothers and your sisters in the house of God, amen, and your reaction today, things that go on in their life is not what it ought to be. Amen. We react out of anger. We react out of jealousy. We react out of bitterness. My friend, listen to me. You don't love God like you say you do. Because if you love God with all your heart, amen, you would treat your brother like you ought to treat. Help me, Holy Ghost, today. Oh, preacher, I love God. I hate your brother. You know what John said about that, don't you? Liar. Did you hear me? I said, liar. He ain't telling the truth. Because if you love God like you ought to, you'd love your brother. Oh, help me. It's awful quiet here this morning. Amen. I'm not going to blame it on you. Amen. I need to preach better than I'm preaching right now. Amen. But I won't preach to us today. Amen. We can have duty, but where is our devotion? Remember, Jesus is dealing with the Pharisees. Amen. And remember, he told him at one time, amen, he says, hypocrites, for you may clean the outside of the cup and platter, but within are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. I've come to preach to you today, my friend. Amen. We need to get our heart taken care of. I love holiness.
You don't have to be around me long to know that I'm a holiness preacher. And you always feel like qualifying this so people don't think you're getting soft on sin. I want to tell you something, my friend. Amen. You can conform to a standard and never get your heart right. Amen. Amen. It's obvious when folks don't want to conform to a standard, their heart's not right. But really, that's the easiest part. Oh, come on now. I said, really, that's the easiest part because sinners conform to a standard all the time. Yeah, go get a job at McDonald's. You'll conform to a standard. You're going to dress like they want you to dress and act like they want you to act. Amen. If you get behind that counter and you're rude with those customers, they're going to bring the hammer down on you because they want you to act in a certain way. That's not hard. Sinners do it all the time. But Pharaoh will tell you something. Amen. It does not take. Oh, God. I have seen carnal individuals conform to a standard. But friend, whenever they got involved in their relationship with their brothers and sisters, they had a gossip in town. Amen. Tell bears. Amen. Backbiters. Praise God. Amen. I want to tell you, my friend, where's your heart at? I said, where is your heart at? There is a problem in my heart when you can't stay out of sin. I said, there is a problem in your heart when you can't keep your mind pure and holy and sanctified. There's a problem in your heart when you're continually falling after the affections of this world. When you can't keep country music out of your tape player, there's a problem in your heart. I said, there is a problem in your heart. Oh, hear me today, my friend. If we'll fall in love with Jesus. I said, if we'll fall in love with Jesus. Amen. A lot of these things you struggle with will not be a struggle. We've got to be devoted to the Father. I said, there's got to be a devotion to the Father. Jesus quoted Isaiah and said, his people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Where's your heart at today? Young folks, where's your heart at? Where is your heart at? Oh God. There's all kinds of evil, wicked things in this hour that we're fighting against. The preacher does not have time to preach against everything. Oh God. Amen. We take every opportunity we can get, amen, to preach against a few things. Amen. But we don't have time to preach against everything. Amen. Inventions and technologies every day coming out that supersedes what was out yesterday. We don't have time to preach against everything. But I'll tell you what would be a cure to a lot of the problem. It's our heart. I said, it is our heart. Amen. We've got to get our heart right if we're going to serve God and keep the victory. Amen. We come in. Amen. We hear the preacher preach. He comes right down our row. He preaches against the things we're doing. And we feel sorry for it. We get convicted of it. And we fall across an altar. And we cry and pray and say when we get done, we're not going to do it anymore. But we never get down to the heart of the issue. Friend, I want to tell you something. Young people, listen to me. You've got to give your heart to the Lord. I said, you've got to give your heart to God and develop a relationship with Him. Some of you here are dating young folks. And we talked a little bit about this last night. Amen. I remember when my wife and I started dating, it was the age before cell phones. I know. It seems hard to believe that we ever lived life without cell phones. But we did, didn't we? Somehow we survived without them. But I remember his calling card, you know. There were times I was at Bible school and she was in Ohio. She was already a teacher. And I was at Bible school and there were times I'd be on the other side of the country, Arizona or New York, and she'd be in Ohio. Amen. And as long as there were times, I know this is going to be hard for you to imagine. But there were times we went 6 and 8 weeks without seeing each other. You know what? We still were able to develop a relationship. You know how we done it? Through communication. Talking. Amen. Conversing one with another. You know what? You know why I did that? Because, amen, I wanted a relationship with her. And there came a time in that communication, amen, that I gave my heart to her. Amen. I did not fall in love with her. I chose to love her. She had my heart because of a relationship that we had developed, communication. And listen to me, I said that to say this, young people, hey man, that's where you've got to get at in your spiritual life. It's not just enough to try to pray through issue after issue and never develop a relationship with Jesus. I know this really ain't shouting down here this morning, but I feel like getting down to where the rubber meets the road. Amen. Oh, it's good. Listen to me. It's good when the preacher preaches against an issue to pray it through and say, I'm not going to do it no more. But friend, if God doesn't have your heart and you have not developed a relationship with Him, it won't be very long and you won't see the need of it anymore and you'll go right back to it. Well, come on now, I said you'll go right back to it, but when He's got your heart and your whole heart is set on pleasing Him and keeping His favor on your life, amen, you're going to shun away from those things that God has dealt with you about. Well, I hope I'm helping you this morning. We've got to give God our heart. I said we've got to give Him our heart. It was nothing serious. I don't want you imagining some wicked, evil thing. It was really something just simple. But I remember there was an issue that came up. Amen. That my wife, she had a conviction against it in her teenage years. I didn't see the need of it. God had not dealt with me about that issue. It wasn't nothing simple. It was just something personal that God dealt with my wife about in order to be closer to Him, she said no to. You know what? After we got married, we were married 2 or 3 years before that issue ever came up. And brother, because, hey man, it was something she would pray through and a conviction of hers. You know what? And you say, well, you're the man of the house. I know I am. But she has my heart. Amen. I'm married to her, and I want her to be pleased with me as much as she wants me to please me. And you know what I said? I said, if that is the way you feel about it, then I'm going to stay away from that too, because I want there to be peace and harmony in the home. And if God's dealt with you about that, then I'm going to stay away from it. Amen. It became my conviction as well. Amen. Why? Why? Because she had my heart, and I wanted her to be pleased with me. But I want to tell you something. That's the way it's going to be with God. When He gets your heart, amen, it's not going to be something you give up at youth camp and pick up when you get back home. It's going to be something you say, if that's what pleases you, if that's what makes you happy, if that's what you want from my life, I'll stay away from it. I'll get as far away from it as I possibly can. But we got to give Him our heart. I said we've got to give Him our heart. Notice this. Not only notice His duty, but notice His disappointment. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Now listen, don't this sound so childish? Yet you never gave me a kid that I can make merry with my friends. Listen, he's disappointed. His motivation for his service was wrong. So when he sees this big to-do over his brother, he was angry. Why hasn't Dad ever thrown me a party? Why have you ever given me this opportunity to have a feast? Look, he's been out. He's devoured his living with harlots. He's played the fool. He's wasted everything that he's got. And you're making this big celebration over him coming home. And I've been here the whole time. He was disappointed in his experience at the father's house. Why was he disappointed? Because, amen, his heart was not right with
God. Amen. He was there at the house. Yes, he was. He was there every day at the house. But yet he was not happy at home because he was not devoted to his Father. And I'll tell you, when church gets boring, and I'll tell you when church is disappointing, it's whenever you sit on the pew and you come to church, but your heart has not been given to God. You're there out of a sense of duty. Amen. You're looking at the crowd, waiting for the preacher to get down, just hoping we'll get to the restaurant before it closes. And I want to tell you something. Amen. When you really get right with God, and God gets your heart, and you're devoted to the Lord, amen, you're not going to be disappointed in the house of God. I said, you're not going to be disappointed with your experience. I want to tell you something, my friend. Amen. God's been mighty good to me. I have no complaints whatsoever in my experience at the Father's house. Has it been easy? No, there's been some difficult times. Has everything went the way that you wanted to go? No, sometimes, amen, hurts have come, griefs have come, but I'm not disappointed with the Father. I'm not disappointed with my experience in the Father's house. He's been mighty good to me. I said, the Lord has been mighty good to me. Amen. Why? I've given Him my heart. Amen. He's the one that holds my affection. I want to preach to us today. Amen. The reason why you're disappointed at the house of prayer, it's not the preaching's fault.
I don't need to say this. The scoring points are better said. We're friends. Amen. I want to tell you something. You sure can't be disappointed here at this church. Not with the preaching that comes from behind this pulpit. You ought to thank God. I said, you ought to thank God for the pastor God's given you right here. If Brother Sam would allow himself, he'd be gone every week of the year. Amen. Preaching camp meetings and festive meetings. I'm not doing famous to pin roses on him. Amen. But he is worthy of double honor according to the book of Timothy. Amen. But I want to tell you something. Amen. You can't blame the preacher. I said, you can't blame the preacher. Amen. God's given you a good preacher. He's given you a great man of God. Amen. To lead you. It's not his fault. If there's any fault, amen, for your disappointment in the house of God, it's not the preacher's fault. Amen. If you get your heart right, I said, if you'll get out of our over brother religion and get in true, pure religion, you'll realize, amen, God's good to you. God's been mighty good to you. There's no reason to be disappointed in the house of God. Oh, God. He has never experienced the fullness of the blessings of the Father's house because he's never given his heart over to God. And people sit on church pew Sunday after Sunday and never experience, I don't know if I'm getting this across to you or not today, but they never experience the fullness of God's blessings because they have elder brother religion. They've kept their heart back from the Father. They're just here in the house of God, and they've never known what it's like, amen, to experience the fullness of God's blessing. Why have you sat here all these years and still never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Holy Ghost. What really concerns me, Brother Chad, is those that have been in church 20 years and never pray to the Holy Ghost and go on as if they don't even need Him. Can I tell you today, you may not be a prodigal in the far country, but neither was he was not either. But he was a prodigal on the porch. I said he was a prodigal on the porch. His heart was not at the Father's house. Mighty quiet this morning. Notice this, because of his disappointment, he becomes disgruntled. He has now went from disappointed to disgruntled. He begins to question his Father and his Father's authority. Why? Why did you do this? Why did you go about it this way? Why? Oh, can you hear it now? Amen. Why, preacher? Why are you expecting? Why did you say that? Why did you tell us this? Why? Disgruntled. Oh, God. You get disgruntled with the pastor. You got elder brother religion. I said, you've got elder brother religion. Not only did he get disgruntled after his disappointment, but then he also reaches that point where he despised. Notice, he said, amen. But as soon as this thy son was come, he don't even claim him as his brother anymore. As soon as this thy son was come, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. He despised the fact that they were dancing. I know this is probably not the young folks' problem, but I sure have seen a lot of our seasoned saints that has this problem, where they get to a point where they begin to criticize the dancing. They begin to despise the dancing. Why do they got to get so emotional for? Why do they got to act like that? Why do they got to get so loud? Why do they got to sing it so fast? Oh, hell, the Holy Ghost today. Amen. Amen. Why? He was despising the dancing. He was despising the fact they were rejoicing over the lost coming home. Amen. People with elder brother religion are those that never really understand all the rejoicing. They have a tendency to criticize shouting and rejoicing. Can I tell you, my friend, that is a very dangerous place to get to when you criticize the moving of the Holy Ghost in your midst. Oh, friend, we may fall out over the temperature, amen, on the thermostat. We may fall out over ceiling fans and the color of the carpet, but don't ever fall out over the moving of the Holy Ghost in the house of God. Oh, hear me, my friend. It's a dangerous place to get at. I said it's a dangerous place to get at. When the glory of God was coming back, David was bringing the ark back home. The Bible said every six paces they sacrificed, and David danced before the Lord with all of his mind. Amen. But his wife Michal, Saul's daughter, despised him in his heart for rejoicing over the glory of God coming back home. And what happened? Judgment fell on her, and the Bible says Michal, amen, had no child until the day of her death. Hear me, my friend. You criticize the Holy Ghost and the moving of God's Spirit and the rejoicing in the house of God, you will die barren of the blessings of God. I said you'll die barren of the blessings of God. Oh, friend, let me tell you now today, amen, we need to pray too. This elder brother religion that criticizes the shouting and the rejoicing of God's people. Amen. I have been in those places. I have went to those churches that criticize shouting. I've heard them say, amen, shouting is shallow. How ignorant. How foolish. Oh, I've heard them say, deep water runs still. Yeah, it also runs cold. Come on now. I said it also runs cold. Praise God. Amen. I want to tell you, my friend, amen, criticize shouting all you want to. I know I said it here before. Amen, but they want to wear that pin. Amen. Look, if I shout, you know we're really having a move of God. And it makes me wonder, why does it take so much of the Holy Ghost to get you to move? When's the last time? I said, when's the last time? Amen, you got lost in the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost. When's the last time the Holy Ghost got in you? Amen, and on you, until you forgot what time it was and forgot who was around you and just got carried away in the worship of God. I want to tell you, my friend, when the Holy Ghost gets in you. I said, when the Holy Ghost gets in you and God's got your heart, you're going to rejoice. I said, you're going to rejoice in the presence of God. People come to church, come to a revival meeting, and I've watched them. Amen. I've watched it at our holiness camp meetings. Amen. It lets me know that preaching is nothing more than entertainment to most people. Whenever they come and when their favorite preacher don't get to preach, they leave upset. They're always doing that shouting. Always wanting to push shouting and rejoicing. I'm going to tell you something. I love preaching, and there are some preachers that I love to hear preach. But I'll tell you what I love more than anything.
I love to get in the presence of God. Amen. And when the Holy Ghost is in it, I said, when the Holy Ghost is in it, it ought not disappoint you. Oh, hallelujah. I said, when the Holy Ghost gets in it, it ought not disappoint you. If you got real religion, if your heart's the Lord's, amen, you're going to rejoice when everybody else is rejoicing. But friend, you're going to despise it if you've got elder brother religion. And friend, hear me. I've been to those churches where they criticize the move of the Holy Ghost, and it's been years. I said, it's been years since they saw somebody come in and get saved. Their altars are bare of the blessing of God because of their critical attitude toward the moving of the Holy Ghost. You want to stop? I said, do you want to stop God's favor on house of prayer? Amen. Just start criticizing, shouting. Amen. Just try to quench the Spirit of God. And you know what you'll find? Amen. It won't be long and Ichabod will be over the door. But friend, I want to tell you, that's not the way I want to go. I said, that's not the way I want to go. I want the Holy Ghost to feel welcome, amen, and ready to move on us at any time He desires. I don't want to go without the favor of the Holy Ghost in my life. Oh, God. At the end of this narrative, the Father says, it's absolutely necessary. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. Oh, friend, listen to me. It is a necessity among the holiness people to keep the rejoicing, to keep the shouting, to keep the dancing. Not a physical display, but a genuine moving of the Holy Ghost power. I'm almost done. Amen. His accusation against his father. Amen. You never gave me a kin. I went all this time. You never catered to me. But notice his answer. And he said unto him, son, notice the tenderness of that. Son. Amen. He comes and deals so tenderly with this boy that's disappointed, that's disgruntled. Amen. That is upset because he's not been catered to. And the Father says, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Notice the power in that statement. His accusation was his father had given him no kid, but the Father says, in essence, you could have had one at any time you desired. This elder brother's disappointment was unjustified because the Father had said, everything I own is already yours. The reason why you've been disappointed is because you've never taken advantage of the opportunity that you've already been given. Hear me this morning. Amen. There's no reason. I said there's no reason to be disappointed in the Father's house. There's no reason to see they're disgruntled, amen, despising what's going on around you. Amen. Everything God has already been offered to you. I said, everything the Father has already been offered to you. Do you realize the richness in this statement to the elder son? He was saying, every head of cattle in the pasture, every sheep in the flock, every vegetable in the garden, and every dollar in the pocket is already yours. I said, it's all already yours. And the Father stands on the balconies of glory this morning and says, ever been a salvation? Ever been a Holy Ghost baptism? Ever been a healing? Ever been a revival? Ever been of God's blessing? It's at your disposal. I said, it's at your disposal. You can take advantage of it any time you desire. There's no reason to sit there disappointed. Every ounce of love, every ounce of grace, every ounce of mercy and compassion is readily available at any moment you need it. There's no reason to go without. Do you hear me? I said there is no reason to go without. If you're here today,
without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you've been saved for many, many years, amen, you're the reason for your own disappointment. Oh. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I'm closing. The error of the elder is very evident. Amen. But do we realize today that we possess those same attitudes and those same disappointments? The elder brother was closer in distance, but in some ways, he was farther away from home than the prodigal was. The prodigal had enough good sense to come to himself and realize it was better back home. Amen. Oh, that you would have enough good sense this morning to realize you can't get this anyplace else. Here is where you need to be at. Right here. Stand to your feet this morning. Let's lift our hands. Ask the Holy Ghost to help us right here, Father. Help us this morning. Father, I felt your touch preaching to us today. Oh God, move upon us. Help us right now. Oh God, we need you. We need you bad right now, Lord. Come in this house. Deal with somebody's heart. Move on somebody right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. As Brother Bobby and his wife comes to give us a song, every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. I want to ask the question this morning. Are you here today? Are you here today performing your duty with no devotion? You be honest with the preacher today and say, preacher, I'm just here because it's where I'm supposed to be at. I have no real desire to be here. I have no real desire to be in the house of the Lord. Your devotion has wore thin in your heart. Would you raise your hand and say, preacher, pray for me. That God would help me love him like I ought to love him. Are you struggling with issues? Is there some things that you have not yet surrendered to the Lord on? I'll tell you, if you'll fall in love with him, I quoted it last night to you, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Don't tell me you love God and you're holding back on him. You know, even if you've only been saved a year coming to the house of prayer, you already know enough to know there's some things you need to be getting rid of. There's some things you need to be doing different. While you're holding back on him, do you love God with all your heart? If you do, you're going to realize this is what pleases him. This is what makes him happy. You're going to give him all your heart. Anybody here disappointed today? Anybody here disgruntled? Oh, God. Listen to me, my friend. You can deceive yourself all you want to and say that it's all right to harbor ill against your pastor. You listening to me? Oh, it may be quiet right now, but the next time things don't go your way, you're going to get mad and fly off the handle. I'm going to tell you something. Your heart's not right. I said, your heart is not right. You've got elder brother religion. And friend, you better get that prayed through, because there's only one way to the pearly gate. I said there's only one way. I feel burdened on my heart for somebody here this morning. I'm trying to get you to realize that's elder brother religion. When your heart's right. I said when your heart is right, you're not going to get disgruntled with your pastor. Any takers this morning on the message? Any takers? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to pull you out. Make a spectacle of you. I just want you to meet. I've got another brother religion. What's your attitude towards shouting, rejoicing, the move of the Holy Ghost? You don't really have to say anything. I can just observe you when the Holy Ghost comes in the house. You may not be shouting, but you're going to be pushing it. You're going to be promoting it. You're going to be doing all you can to help it. But if you're not helping it, you're hurting it. You're hindering it. And you got the other brother in you. Somebody will raise a hand and say, "Preacher, I need an attitude adjustment this morning. I need the Holy Ghost to get in my heart and make a change in my attitude toward rejoicing, toward the move of the Holy Ghost." Oh God. I want to sing. I want to go ahead and sing. These altars are open this morning. I tried to preach to you the burden of my heart. Amen. Would you come? Come on, saints of God. Let's come.
Lord, you
let's come and pray. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, all that you have is ours.
You were there.
Oh, all that you
every
have is ours.
Every time that I call.
Oh, Lord.
You reached out.
Oh, come on, young people. Let's make sure our heart is right. One more time this morning. Let's make sure that we are devoted to our Father.